early life, late at night and never saw a horn.
I'm singing about this old state of mine.
This is Peter Spatafore with Association Impact on Michigan Business Network, filling in for Cheryl Ronk today, talking with Velma Hart and Aaron Wallowick about diversity and inclusion in the nonprofit workplace. We've had five segments today to discuss various issues surrounding diversity and inclusion, but let's talk a little bit specifically about the difference between diversity and inclusion. Aaron, why don't you take this one? Diversity, inclusion, two terms we hear a lot. Explain to us the difference from your perspective in the association application.
Yeah, I'll start here and maybe Velma will help chime in. I feel like, you know, certainly there are like the dictionary definitions, but also I think this is a very, these terms are also somewhat personal as well. So I'll start and maybe Velma can help fill in the gaps as well from her perspective. You know, thinking about diversity, you know, I think traditionally it means all of the stuff that we've been talking about on the show today. It means this respect and appreciation for ethnicity and gender and age and origin. And some of the things that we can't see around perhaps a disability status or sexual orientation or education or religion as well. So both things we can see and can't see. But also this idea around inclusion is really this very personal state and perspective of being valued, of being respected, of being supported, and of feeling like you have a place. I know that Velma talked about this earlier today, thinking about what it means as a diverse person to maybe show up to a reception, a meeting, a program, an event where you maybe don't see folks like yourself, and this sort of disconnect in, you know, feeling like this is a place that you want to be or you feel supported or valued creates this chasm, I think, within our organizations. And so thinking about diversity and inclusion, I think both in terms of the broad terms that we normally think of, but also in terms of that sort of personal value, respect, support, perspective, and angle, that maybe we think less about or we don't take the time to put ourselves in our members' shoes. Velma, what would you add to sort of that introductory brushstroke, if you will?
Oh, no, I think you covered it great. I think diversity is what it's been defined as, and I think for this call we have, for this discussion, we have covered just about every aspect of diversity known and perhaps some that will be new to your audience. But I do think inclusion is a very personal aspect of diversity, that it there's no science behind inclusion. It is more about the feeling, the invitation. We talked about it in that sense when we were leveraging diversity and inclusion initiatives within ASAE, that people felt welcome, wanted, appreciated in a space. And, you know, the effort to advance inclusion is, to me, the complicated component of diversity and inclusion. Diversity is easy. People have kind of accepted, even if their definition is incorrect, what diversity is and that there's a need for it. But making people feel welcome is a whole other different animal. And I think that is the challenging part. But it's one that, quite frankly, you cannot leverage diversity without. If people don't believe you, if they don't trust you, if they don't feel welcome, they won't come, and that will be a void in how you advance your organizational strategy.
Well, you can bring all these various segments of groups together to the table, but then they need to interact, and there needs to be some support and intentionality behind now what. It's not just about bringing new people to the table. It's then about facilitating discussion and conversation to create something that's of value to the organization and to them personally.
Mm-hmm. You know, Mike Olson, when I was very young in ASAE, I won't tell you how many years ago, I got a little bit of a courage one day, I guess, and walked up to him and said, you know, look, I just got to believe there are more people that are like me, but I never see them at ASAE events. And he challenged me at that point. He said, Velma, if you believe they're out there, and help us find them. That, to me, was a courageous step. And I think all organizations, if they're going to be serious about advancing diversity and inclusion initiatives, there must be an element of courage and a willingness to test the unknown, to sincerely advance this work. People will know if it's not sincere. People will recognize and be troubled by it if it isn't, and largely not come. So we have to be very committed to the outcomes that we establish in the space and sincere in leveraging them.
So you said sincerity. What our audience today, CEOs, chief staff executives, all in training or perhaps already on the job, what is the one takeaway they should glean from this conversation today Is it sincerity? Is it intentionality? What is it as it relates to diversity and inclusion for our CEOs and CSEs out there?
I would say it's intentionality, but I'd also say it's a little bit of everything we've talked about. These are complicated issues. They are. If they were simple, we'd put them in a bottle and sell them for $9.95 and make a lot of money. That's not where we're at on diversity and inclusion. We are not a post-racial society, and you know the whole movement in the gay and lesbian space is just really getting the respect it deserves. So we've got a lot of work to do in this space, and we would be, I think, loath to fool ourselves to think that it's going, the road ahead is easy. But we can make it, and again, with courage, we can achieve the goal.
Aaron, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I would just add that this is sort of one of those issues, one of those matters that, as Zelma has stated, is complicated and complex. It is one of those things as CEOs, as chief staff executives, that is easy, I think, to put off to another day. But there will never be a better day. There will never be an easier day to start this journey if it's not something that's already been started, or to advance this journey if it's stalled out. And so you need to make it a priority. And I would say that you need to figure out what that first step is that you're going to take in order to advance this mission within your organization and have the courage to take it.
This is Association Impact. I'm Peter Spatafor on the Michigan Business Network, filling in for Cheryl Ronk. Our guests today have been Velma Hart and Aaron Wallowick. Our topic of discussion, diversity and inclusion in the workplace. Thanks for listening. Now I hate this.